All right, get ready, because today we're diving deep into some seriously stunning landscapes, the western and eastern Ghats of India. You know those pictures you see of lush green mountains covered in mist? That's where we're headed today.
And it's not just about pretty scenery, is it? These mountain ranges are like keys to understanding India, its history, the amazing variety of life there, even its spiritual side. It's a really cool mix.
Okay, so let's break it down. We've got excerpts from some serious academic books about Indian history and geography, so we're not just skimming the surface here. What's the most important thing to know about the Ghats right off the bat?
Well, first, picture India's coastline. Both the Western and Eastern Ghats run along it for hundreds of miles. They're like a natural spine, shaping the climate and the whole look of the subcontinent.
So right away, we see how their location is key. But I'm guessing they're not exactly identical, are they?
You got it. The Western Ghats are younger and taller, and because of the monsoon winds coming in from the Arabian Sea, they get a ton of rain. That's why they have those famous rainforests, thick trees, waterfalls everywhere, and a whole world of creatures living there.
Okay, so the Western Ghats are the dramatic rainforest sibling. What about the Eastern Ghats? What are they like?
The Eastern Ghats are much older and kind of worn down over time, so they're more broken up, with lower peaks and plateaus. You'll find drier forests, scrublands, and river valleys cutting through them. It's a different kind of beautiful, more rugged and ancient,
And with these different environments, I bet there are different animals too, right? You said these ranges are biodiversity hotspots, so I'm picturing all kinds of exotic creatures.
Exactly. The Western Ghats are known for their tigers, elephants, and even this unique wild goat called the Nilgiri tar. But the Eastern Ghats have their own cool residents too, like the slender loris, this tiny primate with these huge eyes. It's like two different planets right next to each other.
It's amazing how these mountain ranges create such distinct pockets of life. But what exactly does it mean when we call them biodiversity hotspots? Why are they so important for conservation?
It comes down to the sheer number of species that only live in these ghats. You won't find them anywhere else. Take the Western Ghats, for example. They have over 5,000 types of plants, and almost 1,500 of them are endemic, meaning they exist only there. It's like a living lab of evolution, but also incredibly fragile.
So the Ghats are like these precious jewels of biodiversity, but they're under a lot of pressure, right?
Yeah.
We hear about deforestation and habitat loss all the time. How are these things specifically impacting the Ghats?
Well, the Western Ghats have lost a big chunk of their forest cover, mostly because of what we humans are doing, agriculture, development, that kind of thing. And as the forests shrink, animals lose their homes, and those endemic species we talked about are in even more danger. It's a chain reaction.
And I imagine climate change is making things even more complicated.
You bet. The weather patterns changing, rainfall becoming less predictable, temperatures going up, all of this disrupts the delicate balance of these ecosystems. The Ghats are already seeing shifts in plant and animal life, and scientists are working hard to understand what the long-term effects will be. It's a real worry.
So it's not just about protecting beautiful scenery, it's about safeguarding all those amazing forms of life that exist in these mountains.
Exactly. And the story of the Ghats isn't just about nature, it's about people too. These mountains have shaped how people have lived for centuries, especially when it comes to farming.
That's what I was thinking. How did the unique landscapes of the Ghats influence how people farmed and grew crops? Do they have to adapt their methods to the terrain?
Yeah, the Ghats really demanded some ingenuity from the people who live there. For example, in the Western Ghats, you have those steep slopes and so much rain. It's not your typical farming situation, but people figured out how to adapt, using terracing techniques to make flat areas for planting. This helped prevent the soil from washing away and let them grow things like rice and spices, even on those hillsides.
That's amazing. It's like they turned a problem into a solution, shaping the land to fit their needs. But I bet those steep slopes weren't ideal for moving goods around, were they? How did the Ghats affect historical trade routes in the region?
That's a good point. The Western Ghats, with their high passes and winding trails, became essential links between the coast and the inner parts of India. Traders used these passes to move spices, textiles, all sorts of valuable goods from the plains to the busy port cities.
So it's almost like the Ghats were these arteries of commerce shaping how the economy of India developed.
Exactly. Those mountain passes weren't just routes, they were strategic locations. Control over them often meant control over power and wealth.
It's really interesting how these mountains that seem so impassable actually help create this vibrant trade and exchange of culture. But there's another aspect of the Ghats we haven't talked about yet, their spiritual side. I know these mountains have some incredibly important pilgrimage sites, right?
That's right. The Ghats are full of temples, shrines, and sacred groves. It shows centuries of spiritual practices and beliefs. It reminds us that these mountains are more than just rocks and trees. They have deep cultural and religious meaning for millions of people.
Can we talk about a couple of specific sites? I'm especially curious about Sabarimala, which I've heard is one of the biggest pilgrimages in the world.
Sabarimala is in the heart of the Western Ghats, dedicated to Lord Ayyappan. What's fascinating is that it's not just about the temple, it's about the journey to get there. Millions of pilgrims go on a 41-day pilgrimage, walking through dense forests and difficult terrain to reach the shrine. It's a real testament to their devotion.
Wow, that's incredible. Are there other important sites in the Ghats that have shaped the spiritual landscape of the region?
Of course. In the Western Ghats, there's Mahabaleshwar, a hill station known for its nice weather and amazing views. It also has a bunch of temples, including one for Lord Shiva. It's a place people go to escape the heat, enjoy nature, and find some spiritual peace.
So even in these sacred places, we see that mix of natural beauty and cultural meaning that defines the Ghats. It seems like there's a strong link between the environment and spirituality in these mountains.
It's a connection that's been there for centuries. The Ghats have been seen as sacred, home to gods and spirits for generations.
It's like the Ghats offer this incredible chance to connect with nature, history, and spirituality all at the same time. They're a microcosm of India's rich and diverse heritage.
And we've only scratched the surface. There's so much more to discover about the Ghats.
Well, I am definitely hooked. What else have we got in store for this deep dive? I'm ready to uncover more of the Ghats' secrets.
You know, we've been talking about how important the Ghats are for biodiversity and agriculture, but there's another aspect to their significance that we haven't really touched on yet, and it's something that really shows their impact on human society's water.
Okay, now that's interesting. I wouldn't immediately think of mountains as a source of water, especially in a place that gets monsoons. What's the connection?
Well, think of the Ghats like massive sponges. They soak up all that monsoon rain. The Western Ghats in particular are like a giant watershed. That's where tons of rivers and streams start and then flow east across the Deccan Plateau.
So they're not just blocking the monsoon winds. They're actually capturing and spreading that water around the whole region.
That's it. These rivers are lifelines for millions of people. They provide water for drinking, irrigation, even hydroelectric power. If it weren't for the Ghats, Indy would look completely different, much drier and less fertile.
That's a really good point. We often don't think much about water, but it's so essential for life. And the Ghats play a huge role in making sure there's enough of it for a vast area. It really makes you realize how everything is connected.
It does. And this kind of leads us to another crucial thing about the Ghats, the challenges they face in today's world. We've mentioned deforestation and climate change, but there's another threat that people often overlook, the impact of development.
I'm curious, what kind of development are we talking about and how is it affecting the Ghats?
Well, as India's population keeps growing and its economy expands, there's more and more pressure to develop things like roads, dams, industries, and a lot of this is happening in and around the Ghats.
Yeah, I can see how that could be a problem.
Yeah.
We're talking about fragile ecosystems, unique species, and ancient cultural sites, all of them facing encroachment from modern development.
Exactly. Dams, for example, can mess with the natural flow of rivers, and that impacts fish populations and communities downstream. Roads, while they're important for connecting places, often cut through forests, breaking up habitats and making it hard for wildlife to move around.
It sounds like a tough balancing act. How do you reconcile the needs of a growing country with the need to protect these incredibly valuable natural treasures?
It's a complex question, and there are no easy answers. It needs a multifaceted approach. I'd say responsible planning, sustainable development practices, and strong environmental laws. We need to move away from the idea of just exploiting nature and find a way to live more harmoniously with the environment.
That makes sense. It's about finding ways to develop without destroying, to progress without sacrificing the ecological and cultural integrity of the Ghats. It's a big challenge, but we can't ignore it.
I agree. And this is where awareness and education are so important. People need to understand just how valuable the Ghats are, not just for their beauty, but for everything. They provide clean water, biodiversity, storing carbon, preserving cultural heritage. It's about seeing these mountains as more than just scenery. They're crucial for a healthy planet.
I think that's a really key takeaway from this deep dive. The Ghats aren't just a background to our lives. They're woven into the fabric of this region. They affect everything from the climate to the culture, the economy, to the environment.
Exactly. Understanding that interconnectedness is crucial for making good decisions about their future. It's about recognizing that what happens in the Ghats has ripple effects that reach far beyond those mountains.
It's a reminder that we're all part of this amazing web of life, and what we do today has consequences that will last for generations.
Speaking of choices, maybe we can shift gears a bit and talk about another side of the Ghats that highlights how humans interact with these mountains' pilgrimage.
We mentioned Sabarimala before, but I'd love to dig a little deeper into the cultural significance of these pilgrimage sites. What is it about the Ghats that draws so many people on these spiritual journeys?
Well, for centuries, people have viewed the Ghats as sacred spaces, places where the divine meets the earth. The soaring peaks, the dense forests, those incredible waterfalls, it all creates a feeling of awe and wonder, a sense of being connected to something bigger than yourself.
So it's not just religious beliefs, it's about how the landscape itself affects people.
You're exactly right. It's that primal connection to nature, that sense of reverence and humility you feel when you're surrounded by such grandeur.
I get that. And I'm guessing these pilgrimages are not something people do alone, right? There are whole communities, families across generations, all united by their devotion.
Yeah, absolutely. Pilgrimage in the Ghats is often a shared experience, a journey of faith and sacrifice that people do together. It strengthens social bonds, keeps cultural traditions alive, and provides a sense of continuity between generations. It's a powerful way of expressing shared identity.
That's fascinating. It's like the Ghats become a gathering place, a common ground, where individual spirituality mixes with collective identity. It really shows the lasting power these mountains have to shape our lives and connect us to something deeper.
It really does. And it's not just about physically making the pilgrimage. It's about the stories, the legends, the myths that people associate with these sacred sites. Those stories add another layer of meaning to the landscape. They transform it from just rock and water into a rich tapestry with deep spiritual significance.
You're painting such a vivid picture. Can you give a specific example of a story or legend tied to one of these pilgrimage sites? I'm always amazed by how these tales connect people to a place.
Well, there's this captivating legend associated with Sabarimala that perfectly shows this connection. It's about the deity Ayyappan, who the temple is dedicated to.
Yeah.
The story goes that Ayyappan was a prince who was abandoned as a baby and raised by a tribal chief in the forests of the Western Ghats. He grew up to be a skilled warrior and eventually became divine.
So his story is tied to the Ghats themselves, linking him to the very landscape that pilgrims travel through on their way to his shrine.
Exactly. It's as if the landscape itself becomes a character in the story, a living testament to the presence of the divine. And for the pilgrims, retracing Ayyappan's steps through the forests and mountains is a deeply symbolic act, a way of connecting with his story and experiencing his divine energy.
It's amazing how these stories enrich the pilgrimage. They turn it from a physical act into a spiritual quest, a search for connection and enlightenment.
That's the power of storytelling, isn't it? It transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary. It gives meaning to the landscape and turns a mountain range into a sacred place.
It's clear that the Ghats mean so much to so many people, not just for their biodiversity or their role in India's history and geography, but for their spiritual power as well.
You're right. And this brings up an important point. We need to appreciate and respect the Ghats for everything they represent.
I completely agree. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, from how ecosystems work to the cultural and spiritual significance of these mountains. But what does it all mean considering the challenges the Ghats are facing today? What comes next?
That's a good question, and it's one that deserves some serious thought. I think the main takeaway is that the Ghats are more than just mountains. They're a living example of how nature, culture, and human well-being are all connected.
So it's not just about protecting a landscape. It's about recognizing how much these mountains affect every part of life in the region and making choices that reflect that understanding.
Exactly. It's about finding ways to balance economic development with environmental conservation, to respect cultural traditions while embracing sustainability. It's about realizing that the future of the Ghats is tied to our own.
It's challenging, but it's also a hopeful message. It's about recognizing that everything is connected and working together so that the Ghats continue to thrive for future generations.
I think you put it perfectly. The Ghats are a gift, a legacy we've inherited. And it's our responsibility to protect them, not just for ourselves, but for the planet's future.
We've certainly explored a lot in this deep dive. We've traveled through ancient landscapes, discovered hidden ecosystems, and learned about the rich cultural heritage of the Ghats. But before we finish up, I want to leave our listeners with one last thought to ponder. Imagine you're standing on top of one of those high peaks in the Ghats. We've talked about the views, but I'm thinking beyond just how it looks. What would it feel like to be there, knowing everything we've learned today?
That's a really thought-provoking question, isn't it? You'd be surrounded by all that incredible natural beauty, but also aware of the history, the culture, the whole web of life that's been going on in those mountains for centuries.
Yeah, it would be like standing at the crossroads of time and nature. You'd feel this weight of the past, but also the potential of what could be in the future. And I imagine that feeling of responsibility we talked about would be even stronger.
Absolutely. Reading about the Ghats is one thing, but actually being there, breathing the air, feeling the energy, it would give you a whole different level of understanding.
Right. It's like those concepts we've been discussing, biodiversity, sustainability, interconnectedness. They wouldn't just be ideas anymore. They would become real and tangible.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't just be knowledge in your head anymore. It would be an experience, a deep connection to the Ghats and everything they represent.
And maybe that's what people need sometimes to really get why it's so important to protect these places. It's not just facts and figures. It's about that emotional connection, that awe and responsibility that comes from being there and feeling their power firsthand.
I couldn't agree more. Sometimes we need to get out of our daily routines and immerse ourselves in nature to really understand where we fit in.
Well, I think this deep dive has definitely given both of us a new appreciation for the Ghats and what they can teach us.
I think so too, and I hope our listeners feel the same way. It's been great exploring these mountains with you.
The feeling is mutual. And for anyone listening who wants to keep exploring, we encourage you to dig in and do some research. There's a ton of info and pictures online just waiting to be discovered.
The Ghats are a treasure trove of knowledge and wonder. There's always something new to learn.
So go ahead, dive in, and let the magic of the Ghats inspire you.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep those deep dives going.